I cannot imagine doing that. I'm sure that guy was arrested or beat by his wife afterwards. I don't know. One of the two. I want to talk to you this morning under the title, Fearless Fear. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, if you would, open up the Word of God to the book of Exodus, which is the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're going to read this together. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. It says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence that has come into this room as your believers and your followers have come into this room. It is tangible, Lord. We know that you're here, and we pray now over these next few moments that you will open our hearts and enable us to lean into the Word of God and experience transformation in our heart. God, that's what we desire. That's what we want. We want to be closer to you. We want to know you in the way that you want us to know you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. A couple years after Lacey and I were married, we moved into an older house, and It was pretty run down, but we worked to make it nice and cleared away the clutter and made a home here in this house, which was new for us. And I remember one evening, probably late night, Lacey was already in bed, and I was out in the little family room that had our dining room as well. You know how it is in those houses, everything's together, and the heater right there. And I was out there, and I was actually kneeling down at my chair. I don't want to sound over-spiritual, but I was praying in the moment. All right, forgive me for doing that. But I was praying in that moment, kneeling down at the chair, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see a flash go by, whoo, like that. And immediately, I'm praying, I'm like, whoo. What was that? And so my heart was going a little bit too fast, and it settled down. I'm like, all right, it's just my imagination. I'm going to be okay. And so then I go back to pray, and all of a sudden the flash went underneath the chair where I was praying. And underneath this chair is something alive. And some of you are super brave, and I'm super brave with some things. But when it comes to mice, I'll be honest, it's not fight or flight. With me, it's flight or fight. The first one is flight. And I'm like, Keith, come on, be a man. All right. And so I'm trying to pray, and the thing flies underneath the chair, and I literally jump up into the air. I'm like, no. And you know how you get the goosebumps and everything, and I'm just like, oh, mice just do that to me. I can't stand mice. And so I ran into the kitchen, and then the flight came over, like, I'm a man of the home, okay? And so I just reached for the two things I could find real quick. I'm like, poof, like this, and I'm just standing there, I'm like, making these manly noises, like, ah, ah. And Lacey hears the commotion, it wakes her up, and she comes out, opens the bedroom door, comes out, and here I am. Let's just say I wasn't dressed for church that night. And here I am, standing there, and I'm holding the aluminum foil and a steak knife. With this crazed look in my eyes. And Lacey's like, what is going on? And I say to her, as if she should have understood by how I was, how I had that aluminum foil and the steak knife, it was a mouse. Like, doesn't everybody do this when they see a mouse? Well, needless to say, guys, my man card took like two or three huge hits that night. Just poof, 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 as I stood there with those items. Eventually, she's like, Lacey, got the mouse. I need to be honest. We didn't get it that night. And our last memory of that night, after we tried to find it and chase it and couldn't and all of this, is that she went on to bed, and my heart's still going a little bit. For some reason, just the adrenaline was going. And the last memory we have of that night is I crawled into bed with my shoes on. Okay. I'm like, if this thing comes up here, I don't want to stomp on with my bare feet. That's not going to happen. No way. No way. Fears, we all have them, various levels in our life. Sometimes they're a little more pronounced, though, than a mouse or a spider or heights or drowning. It's life stuff, you know. It's fear of rejection. Many counselors say that's the top fear in America right now, is a fear of rejection. Maybe it's a fear of the unknown. It's a fear of a job loss or a diagnosis. It's a fear of your kids never moving out. It might be a fear of, more seriously, that your kids aren't going to serve the Lord. It's a fear of not being good enough, fear of not doing enough. It's a fear maybe of just failure. We have these fears, but I want to ask you this morning, should we be afraid of those fears? And is it possible for us to live fearless in the face of our fears? Moses, with the Israelites, said, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And it's easy to hear that. Do not be afraid. Of course, Israelites, don't be afraid. But I want to give you a little context of what's happening. If you'll just turn over to chapter 19, verse 16 of Exodus. It says, "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder." Hopefully, as you jump into this text, you can see why the Israelites were a little bit concerned and a little bit scared. Literally, smoke and fire coming down to this mountain, and the mountain is trembling. The whole mountain is trembling. And the trumpet blast was not being blown by an Israelite. It was being blown from somewhere in heaven. And the scripture says that it began to get louder and louder and louder. The noise was deafening. The mountain was trembling. Fire and smoke were everywhere. And Moses has the audacity to say to the Israelites, "Hey guys, don't be afraid." I mean, these people are cowering in fear. Literally, they are trembling. They are so scared. And Moses says, "Don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you." Now, I want you to catch this, because at first glance in this passage, you would almost think there's a contradiction there. Moses says, "Don't be afraid, but be afraid. Have no fear, but have fear of God." And it seems to be a contradiction, but I want to show you this morning is that there are actually two distinct types of fear being talked about in this passage. It's really the same Hebrew word. One's a verb, one's a noun, meaning fear, terror, meaning respect, reverence. It's the same basic word, but there are actually two distinct types of fear. One is fear of what's going on, and the other is the fear of the Lord. Now, the first fear that we're looking at in this passage, when he said, "Do not be afraid," is talking about a fear that comes from the absence of knowledge. It's the absence of knowledge. It's when you don't know really what's happening. You don't see the big picture. You don't see what could possibly happen. You see what you think might happen, okay? And this is the absence of knowledge. Now, the Israelites didn't get why God was coming to them in this way. The Israelites thought God was going to destroy them. He brought them out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They were now in the wilderness, and God is revealing himself to them, but it's not to destroy them. It's for them to get to know who he is and for him to see if they had the fear of the Lord in their lives. They were afraid. They were afraid. Now, in the New Testament, we see this talked about and see this reference many, many times where someone has a fear of something that they shouldn't have a fear of. When they have a fear of something and it's based on the absence of knowledge. An example would be Luke chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But in Luke chapter 8, several things are happening. First of all, we have the disciples who are in a boat with Jesus crossing over to the other side of the lake. And while they're on this lake, a huge storm erupts. I mean, just a massive storm erupts. Jesus has fallen asleep and he's still sleeping through the storm. But the disciples, seeing the storm and seeing Jesus falling asleep, had no rest in their spirits. They were freaked out of their minds. They were so afraid that they were going to drown. Now, we'll come back to that, but after they landed, they go to the region of the Gadarenes, and in this account, there's a man who is possessed by many, many devils. It's called a legion of devils, and he is uncontrollable, cuts himself, just uncontrollable. And Jesus approaches him, and as the man comes up, he delivers him from all of those demons, and he casts those demons out into a herd of pigs. And the herd of pigs run off the edge of the cliff to their death. I mean, that's what pigs do when they're demon-possessed. Like, they just run off the edge of the cliff. I mean, I thought this morning, I don't have random thoughts, but can you imagine, like, the guy is wanting to propose to his fiance, and they're out there in the boat, you know, on the lake, and he's just getting ready to pose the question, and all of a sudden they look up. There's a herd of pigs falling on us right now. And they're demon-possessed. Not a good combination. Now, what happened right after this deliverance, this mighty deliverance, is that the people of the village and the community and the region came rushing out to Jesus, and they saw Jesus, and they saw this man who was now in his right mind. He had been delivered. It was obvious. No one doubted the miracle. Nobody doubted the miracle. But it said that they were afraid. And so they begged Jesus to leave. Now, what were they afraid of? They were afraid of losing their financial well-being. One of their herds was just destroyed. Their way of life has just been affected. If Jesus stays, how much more is going to be affected in our life? How much more is going to be wrecked, is going to be changed, is going to be repositioned? And they were afraid of losing their financial well-being. Well, soon after that, Jesus is in a crowd, and some of you remember how there was a lady who had a severe bleeding issue for 12 years, and because of that, she had been ostracized. She had been looked down on. She had been separated from society because of this issue. It was a big deal in that society. And this woman came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, just hoping to be healed. But it says when Jesus turned that she began to tremble. She was afraid. She was afraid. The one who had been ostracized for so long was afraid of being noticed in public by Jesus. And what we see is that these three accounts show people having a fear with the absence of knowledge. They're fearing the wrong thing. They're fearing the lesser thing. They're fearing the common things. They had it mixed up. The disciples feared that they were going to drown, little knowing that the one who speaks to the winds and waves and tells them exactly what to do was right there in their boat. The people of the region of Gadarene, when they came to Jesus, they were afraid of losing their financial ability, little knowing that right before them was the provider of life and health, the giver of bread, the giver of water, the giver of eternity. And you see this woman who was so afraid, trembling, so afraid of being noticed by Jesus, not realizing that Jesus had never taken his eyes off of her. Jesus had never, one moment of her life, dropped his concern for her, but had created her and brought her to that moment for her to have healing. You know, oftentimes, like the Israelites and people in the scriptures, we fear the wrong things. We fear the things of life. We fear the mountains that are trembling. We fear the smoke and the fire that we see in our relationships and in our jobs and in these things, and we fear the wrong thing. It's an absence of knowledge. But there's another fear that Moses talks about in this scripture. It's a fear that comes because of the presence of knowledge. It's an accurate fear. It's a rightful fear. It's a correct fear. What is it? It's the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord. Now, the English language has arrested the term fear. And it is all negative, right? I mean, if you look it up online, if you ask a little kid, what's it mean to be afraid or what's it mean to fear God? They're like, well, why do I need to be afraid of God? Why do I need, everything with the English language with the word fear is terror, you know, being scared, being freaked out of your mind, all of those things. But in scripture, the fear of the Lord is actually a positive thing for a believer. In scripture, the fear of the Lord is actually a transformational revelation in your life. Do you know that over 300 times in our scriptures, the word fear is used in reference to the Lord? And it is this principle, it is this lifestyle, it is this belief that can change how you live, how you speak, how you pray, how you worship. It's the fear of the Lord. In the Old Testament times, the Hebrew scribes, later on into the writing of the Old Testament, they were told, whenever you write out the name Jehovah or Yahweh, the Hebrew words for God, whenever you write that out, whenever you transcribe the text onto the scrolls, you have to omit the vowels. And so whenever they would transcribe the word Jehovah or Yahweh, they wouldn't even write in the vowels of his name because there was such a reverence for God's name. Such a reverence for God's name. It's quite different than times now when we might hear God's name used as a swear word or as an exclamation. Times when you might be watching a show and the name Jesus is used as a swear word to preface another swear word. You know, it's quite different than a t-shirt that was very popular about 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago being sold in the mall, and it said, "Jesus is my homeboy." It always bothered me. It always bothered me. See, Jesus is not our buddy. He's not our homeboy. He's not a genie in the lamp. He's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. And Scripture teaches us to have the fear of the Lord. And that was the desire of God coming down in the way that he did to reveal himself. Fire, smoke, mountain trembling, trumpet getting louder and louder to reveal himself to the Israelites. And in our text, what does it say? He came to test them. Moses said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord has come to test you." To test you. Now, some people like tests and some people don't. I personally really, really enjoy tests, especially if I'm prepared for them, okay? So I found there was a difference in school. The times when I had studied and was prepared, I walk in and be like, "Give me the pencil. Come on, let's do this." Some of you now are like, "Pencils, we don't know what that is. You know, give me the iPad, give me the computer, whatever it is." Now, there are other tests that you're not prepared for, and it's not as fun, right? You walk into class, and most of us, I would say, besides Pastor Joel, have had this happen, where you walk into a class and you're not prepared. You know what I'm saying? This guy's always prepared. But you walk into class, and you're not prepared, and you're like, "Oh, there's a test today. I suddenly got sick, and I must go to the restroom." Tests. Sometimes fun, sometimes not fun. Depends on how we're prepared. The Israelites were not prepared for this one. And you might ask, well, why did God test them? Was it to find out if they had the fear of God in their heart? God already knew what was in their heart. God knows what's in your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows your thought before you think it. God already knew what was in the Israelites' heart. So why did he test them? Well, I submit to you, the reason why he tested them in this way, in this moment, was so that they could know what was in their heart. You know, I have found in my life whenever I go through a time of testing or a time of difficulty, I mean, God already knew how I would respond, right? Come on. But haven't you gone through something and you found out the amount of character that you had or didn't have? You found out how much integrity you walk in or don't walk in? You found out how much patience you have or don't have? You found out how much faith you have or don't have? God came to test the Israelites so that they could know what was in their hearts. Did they have the fear of the Lord? Did they have the fear of the Lord? So what is this fear of the Lord? It's very difficult to define. I don't think in English finite terms there's any way to completely define the fear of the Lord. I'm still learning, and I want to keep learning more of what the fear of the Lord is. But if we could put some words up on the screen just to give us of what the fear of the Lord includes. Not limited to, but includes. It would be an extremely deep, profound reverence for him. Not just God's awesome, but I'm talking about an extremely deep, it's profound. It's in, from your innermost being, a reverence for God. It's a profound awe of who he is. It's a humble acknowledgement of his preeminence and superiority over everything and over everyone. It's always placing his interests and desires above our own. It's a desire to please him no matter the cost. Get this, it's loving what he loves, hating what he hates, and it's trembling in his presence. The fear of the Lord. God came to test them. Do you have the fear of the Lord? Because he wanted them to have the fear of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it means he wanted it to exist. He wanted it to remain, to abide in them, in their going in, their coming out. He wanted it to be in their conversations. He wanted it to be in their entertainment choices. He wanted it to be in how they raised their kids. He wanted it to be in how they treated sin and temptation. God wanted the fear of the Lord to be in their day in and their day out, their moments of life. Psalm 147 says that God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the strength of the legs of man, but he delights in those who fear the Lord and put their hope in his unfailing love. The Lord literally delights in those of you who fear the Lord, who have that deep, profound reverence and awe for him. He delights in it, and Scripture teaches that he even casts his favor on those who fear the Lord. It is mind-boggling if you do a study of the fear of the Lord, of the effects of the fear of the Lord in your life. When you walk in the fear of the Lord and you are growing your knowledge of what that is and you live it out, it is astounding the effects that God brings into your life and that you experience. Here are some of those. This is just some. It prolongs life. Having the fear of the Lord gives strong confidence, becomes a life-giving fountain. The fear of God is instruction for wisdom. It keeps one from evil. It leads you to life and it brings rest. It leads to riches, honor, and life. The fear of the Lord promises protection. It secures God's continual attention, supplies God's provision, brings God's mercy, delivers us from harm, provides wisdom and understanding, results in complete satisfaction, taps into the wisdom of God. It keeps us on his path. It provides clarity and direction. It results in a rewarding life, and it even grants friendship with God. Come on, who wants some of that? You see, in Scripture, it is clear that as we walk in the fear of the Lord, not afraid of judgment if you're a believer, but a confidence and an awe and a trembling in his presence, we experience those promises of God. Now, there's another, and there are many more, but one that we're going to mention because it's from our text, another reason, another effect of having the fear of God in your life. Exodus 20, verse 20 says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." God wanted the fear of God to be in their life for so many reasons, hundreds of reasons. But the one in this text is this reason, to keep you from sinning. Hebrew means to miss the mark, to keep you from going off on the wrong path, to keep you from doing wrong. Fear of God in our life keeps us from sinning. Author John Bevere writes about an encounter he had with a very, very well-known minister. This minister, if I said his name, any of you who are my age and older would remember who this person is, but he was famous for his television ministry in the 1980s, and at some point in his very successful ministry, he began to compromise his purity, and he began to veer off the path, a little bit here, a little bit there, going this direction, until he had hurt his family and hurt the ministry and hurt the believers in the country and eventually even committed fraud. Now, early in his prison sentence, this former minister had an encounter with Jesus, like legit encounter with Jesus. And it turned his life around. It turned his life around. He had asked this author, John Bevere, to go visit him and talk with him. And so John Bevere was talking with him. And at one point in the conversation, John couldn't stand it any longer. "Why did you do it? What happened? It was so great. God was using you. Why the compromise? Why going off the path a little here, a little there?" This man looked at John Bevere and said, "John, I loved Jesus." And John said, "Whoa, wait a second. What do you mean you loved Jesus? You sinned. What do you mean you loved Jesus? You kept veering off the path. You hurt so many people. Your name is mud now. You hurt the name of the church in America. I'm like, what do you mean you loved Jesus?" And he said, no. "I loved Jesus, but I didn't fear him." And this man went on to say, "John, there are millions of Americans just like me. They love Jesus, but they don't fear me." You see, in the New Testament, we see motivations for living a holy life. What am I talking about? I'm talking about resisting temptation and living in God's way. We see motivations for that. We know that grace is the ability to live holy, right? That's the empowerment from God to live holy. But what is the motivation? What is the motivation to live an obedient life before God? It's not just so they don't get caught. It's not just so that there aren't consequences. Come on, we all know that we can look past those and justify those and think I can handle them. What are the motivations scripturally? Well, first of all, it's a love for God. The more you love God, the more you obey him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." But there's another motivation that we can't let escape from our hearts as we choose to serve God, and that is the motivation of the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God." NIV says, I believe, "Do not let anything contaminate body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." It's this desire so much to have awe of God. It's a desire so much to not trample on the grace of God, to remember the price that was paid by Jesus when he shed his precious blood on Calvary for us to be saved and for us to have forgiveness. It's that reverence for his ways and for his name. It's a reverence for his kingdom, a reverence for what he wants to accomplish in this earth that all encompasses the fear of God. And it's through the fear of God that we live holy lives. I want to challenge all of us this morning, myself included, over the next few days, to walk in the fear of the Lord. Well, how do I do that? How do I walk in the fear of the Lord? For some of us, maybe this is a new concept. Well, how do we walk in the fear of the Lord? I'll just give you three. One is grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. You see, the Israelites knew of God, right? They had heard of God. He delivered them from Israel, part of the Red Sea. You think that would just do it? It didn't. They knew of God, but they didn't know God. I'm talking about in an intimate, deeper, experiential way, not just an intellectual way or a mental ascent, but in a deep way of knowing God. Proverbs chapter 2 says, "Then you will know what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God." Here's the thing. There is a link between the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. You can't separate it. You can't separate. The more you know God in a deeper, intimate, personal way, the more you will fear him. Okay, the people in the New Testament, when they saw Jesus, I'm talking about John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, he had hung with Jesus. If anybody could say, "Jesus is my friend, my bud," he could. But when he saw Jesus after the resurrection on the island of Patmos, he falls flat as though dead because he glanced up and he saw that there was Jesus with eyes like blazing fire, feet of burnished bronze. His words were like rushing waters. When he saw that in heaven there were and there are over 100 million angels just worshiping him, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. What was his response? He fell flat as though dead. Grow in your knowledge of God. The more you know God, the more you will fear God. I'm not talking about a fear of judgment. I'm talking about a fear of not being with him. I'm talking about a trembling as you read his word, as you see that these are sacred words of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. Secondly, I would say walk in reverence, because when you grow in the knowledge of God, you grow in your fear of God. You can't separate those. Walk in reverence. In the next few days, I encourage you as you decide on entertainment choices, as you have conversations with your kids, as you pray with your kids, as you deal with things at work, as you work with your finances, as you talk with your neighbors, as you go on a jog, as you go on a walk, in the next few days, have a deeper reverence for God. Walk in that reverence. And then last, and this might seem like it is out of place, but I want to show you that it's not, and that is this: walk in courage. You know, Keith, I thought we're supposed to be afraid of... No, I never said we're supposed to be afraid of God. You see, the more you have a fear of the Lord, the less you fear life. I want to show you this in Exodus chapter 20, in the very next verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. It says this: "The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was." Do you see what's happening here? God descended, the mountain is trembling, smoke and fire are coming down. The trumpet blast is getting louder and louder. The people are trembling. The people are trembling. They are so afraid. And Moses says, don't be afraid. God's just seeing if the fear of God's in you. So you can see if the fear of God is in you. Just trust him. Just live for him. Honor him. And after he said that, the people remained at a distance. They remained at a distance. They were afraid of being killed. And they might have, because they didn't have the fear of the Lord if they had gone forward. They remained at a difference. And you see some people trembling and drawing back, but then you see Moses drawing near. How could he draw near with the mountain trembling and the fire of God falling in that place? How could he have confidence to enter into that place with God? He had the fear of the Lord. He had the fear of the Lord. He understood who God was. His heart was right before God. And so instead of drawing back when things in life are going crazy, instead he drew near to God. He drew near to God. Here's the thing. When you fear God, you have nothing to fear. When you fear God, you have nothing to fear. The more we fear God, the less we worry. The more we fear God, the less we're worried about a job loss. The more we fear God, the less we sin. The more we fear God, the less we worry about the future or what people think or what they're going to say about us or if they think we're doing enough or not enough or a good job or a bad job. The more we fear God, the less we feel like a failure. The more we fear God and the more we have our eyes set on him, the less we fear. The more you know God, the more you fear God. The less you know God, the more you fear life. All right? Less you know God, the more you fear life. The more you know God, the more you fear God, and the more you fear God, the less you fear life. When you fear God, you have nothing to fear. I want to ask you if you would to bow your heads. There is one true God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of humanity. And he chose, even before man and woman decided to sin, the very first time he chose to send his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins so that we could approach his presence, so that we could be right with him. And Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he actually paid the price for our transgressions. And he made it possible for us to come into relationship with Christ. The scripture says to even be united with Christ, to become part of his family, to become a child of God. And he makes that possible to every single person that is here this morning. Every single person, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what family you're a part of, God has made this salvation possible. Well, how do I receive salvation? Well, it's by inviting him. It's by asking him. It's by saying, you know what? I'm ready to change. I'm ready to surrender my life to him. And as heads are bowed right now, I want to ask how many of us in this place would lift up a hand and say, yeah, I am ready to surrender my life to God. I am ready to ask him to come into my life. Yes. Who else will join this young man? I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. Okay. Is there anybody else? Lift the bands. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus, to receive his salvation into my life. I'm going to lead in a prayer, and I'm going to ask all of you, including those who lifted their hand, to pray this prayer with me. We are convinced, aren't we, church, that when we call out to God, he answers us. When we confess our sins, he forgives us and brings us into an eternal relationship with him. And so I want to pray this prayer, and I ask all of you to repeat after me, especially those who lifted a hand, and let's pray a prayer of faith together. Lord Jesus, I have wronged you. I have failed you. but you have not forgotten me. You have always been there. And now I'm coming back. Back into the relationship that you died for to make possible. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a new creation. Place your grace inside of me. And make me a new person. I believe that you died. That you rose again. And that you were on the throne. And now I ask you to be on my throne. As your heads are still bowed, I want to speak to those who have just lifted a hand and prayed that prayer, and others of you might have joined them with a desire to be saved. I'm telling you what, this can be the biggest day of your life. When you come into communion with Jesus, when you come into relationship with him, this is not the end, this is the beginning. I want to encourage you, even before this morning is over, to tell someone, tell me, tell someone that you came with, so they can pray with you, we can go on this path, this journey of seeking God together. As your heads are still bowed, I just want to ask for you to begin to think about some fears that you've been facing over this last week or two. Maybe it has to do with your kids, has to do with your health. Maybe there have been fears of what others might think about you. It might be fears of the future and of change and of how your life might be affected by someone else's decision. It might be a fear of failure. I wonder how many of you would lift up a hand in an honest moment and say, in this last week or two, yeah, there's been a fear that's come to mind. There's been a fear that I'm dealing with. How many of you lift up a hand? Yeah, a lot of us. Thank you for your honesty. A lot of us. And tonight, or this morning, has been an encouragement to you that God is with you. And that as we have him in the rightful place of our life, on the throne, we have nothing to fear. This morning, before we go, we want to encourage you in the Lord. And so I want to ask for all of you that lifted a hand and even those who didn't but maybe wish they would to come forward for a moment. And everyone, please stand at this moment as well. Just have everybody stand to make it easier for people to move out. But if you lifted a hand or there is something last week or two, like, yeah, it's okay, it's real. It's something. Yeah, thanks for coming. Just come and come to the front and just begin to pray. All right? I want you to begin to tell God what it is. I thought he already knew. He does. But he wants to know that you know. And he wants to know that you know where to go to find help. And it's through him. So just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Begin to lay down that fear before him. Lord, here it is. I need you. Here it is, God. I need your help. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you. But first, you just pray. As you pray, listen to the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth, and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. This morning, we're going to declare our faith in God. We're going to declare the reality that when we fear God, when we have Him at the rightful place, we have nothing to fear. We're His children. He's watching over us. It's going to be okay. The worship team is going to lead us. And I pray that this song will be a declaration of truth in your life.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yes, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no
thankful for messages from the Word that, first of all, deposit the Word into our lives. This message has done that, but I'm also thankful for the message this morning that gives us a takeaway to take home. And for all of you who are at the altar, you must have caught that part of the message, because Pastor Keith has encouraged you and all the rest of us as we walk out of here today with a homework assignment. Otherwise, you just receive something from the Word, and let me tell you something, Satan will work overtime to take that away from you, to get it away from you before the sun goes down tonight. But Pastor Keith encouraged us, number one, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. So get in this book even more today, every day this week. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Secondly, walk in reverence. And I really like that. You and I have an assignment. Walk in reverence. Every decision we make, every place we go to, everything that we see with our eyes, everything that we say with our mouth, walk in reverence to the Lord. How is the Lord feeling about what I've just said, what I've just done, so forth? And third, walk in courage. Walk in courage, and I pray that for you. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray that the Lord would give all of us the grace to grow in knowledge of Him, to walk in reverence of Him, and to walk in the courage that He deposits in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. God bless you.